ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. We'll chant verse 46 to 50, chapter 2. Page 118.
Yavanartavudapane यावानर्त उदपाने सर्वत संप्लुतोदके सर्वत संप्लुतोदके तावान् सर्वेषु वेदेषु तावान् सर्वेषु वेदेषु ब्राह्मणस्य विजानतः ब्राह्मणस्य विजानतः यावानर्त उदपाने सर्वत संप्लुतोदके तावान् सर्वेषु वेदेषु ब्राह्मणस्य विजानतः कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते माफलेषु कदाचन माफलेषु कदाचन मा कर्मफलहेतुर्भुः मा कर्मफलहेतुर्भुः माते संगोस्त्व कर्मणि माते संगोस्त्व कर्मणि कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्मफलहेतुर्भुः माते संगोस्त्व कर्मणि योगस्तत्कुरु कर्माणि योगस्तत्कुरु कर्माणि संगं त्यक्त्वा धनञ्जय संगं त्यक्त्वा धनञ्जय सिद्ध्य सिद्ध्यो समो भूत्वा सिद्ध्य सिद्ध्यो समो भूत्वा समत्वं योग उच्यते समत्वं योग उच्यते योगस्तत्कुरु कर्माणि संगं त्यक्त्वा धनञ्जय सिद्ध्य सिद्ध्यो समो भूत्वा समत्वं योगमुच्यते दूरेण ह्यवरं कर्म दूरेण ह्यवरं कर्म बुद्धियोगाधनञ्जय बुद्धियोगाधनञ्जय बुद्धौ शरणमन्विच्य बुद्धौ शरणमन्विच्य कृपणाफलहेतवः कृपणाफलहेतवः दूरेण ह्यवरं कर्म बुद्धियोगाधनञ्जय बुद्धौ शरणमन्विच्य कृपणाफलहेतवः बुद्धियुक्तो जहातीह बुद्धियुक्तो जहातीह उभे सुकृत दुष्कृते उभे सुकृत दुष्कृते तस्माद्योगाय युज्यस्व तस्माद्योगाय युज्यस्व योगकर्मसु कौशलम् योगकर्मसु कौशलम् बुद्धियुक्तो जहातीह उभे सुकृत दुष्कृते तस्माद्योगाय युज्यस्व योगकर्मसु कौशलम् After talking exhaustively on Atma Jnanam from verse number 11 till 38, in 39 onwards in this chapter, he shifts the gear towards Karma Yoga, which he calls as Buddhi Yoga here. Why does he call Karma Yoga as Buddhi Yoga? Because Buddhi means awareness, alertness, action done with awareness. Action can be done mechanically, action can be done with thoughts running amok, desiring for the results, wherein the awareness is not there. So when thoughts are directed towards a higher goal, and the awareness is kindled in its maximum while you act. That is Karma Yoga. So he defines Karma Yoga as Buddhi Yoga. Now, having started talking about Karma Yoga, he talked about the benefits of Karma Yoga, wherein he said, here the mind becomes single pointed and there is no contrary result. You will achieve your results and you will be peaceful. Then he went on to talk about Vedas, wherein he said, Vedas are only talking about the three. Vedas are nothing but Trigunya Vishaya, he said. Meaning, in Vedas, the beginning portion of the Vedas, called as the Mantras, Brahmanas and Aranyakas, the text is only emphasizing upon the rituals to fulfill one's desires, worldly desires and desire for reaching the heaven. And therefore he said Vedas are only Trigunya Vishaya. One should strive to go beyond the gunas and get to the self, which is spoken elaborately in Vedanta, which is Upanishads. So having said this, then he said in 47, the most important verse, Karmani eva adhikaraha ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala hetur boho ma te sangostva karmani. Let your right should only be with action, never to the result. Let it not be on the fruit of action. Let not your motive be the fruit of action nor inaction. One set of people run away from action, another set of people run after action seeking results. Here Krishna is saying both of them are not engaged in Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is not running after. Karma Yoga is being aware while you do your actions, being in the present, keeping your mind in the present. We have spoken elaborately about verse 47, so you can go back and listen to those lectures. We'll start 48 today.
Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyatvadananjaya sangam tyatvadananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yogam uchyate yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyatvadananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate.
Steadfast in yoga, perform actions O Dhananjaya. Renouncing attachment and being the same in success and failure, evenness, is called yoga. Dhananjaya here is addressed by Dhananjaya. Arjuna is addressed. Arjuna has another name called Dhananjaya, which means winner of wealth. One who has won many battles and brought wealth to his country. So here Krishna's advice is, be steadfast in yoga. Perform actions being steadfast in yoga. O Dhananjaya, O Arjuna, let not your thoughts be on the result, success or failure. One should be same in success or failure. And then he gives a beautiful definition for yoga. In verse number 48 and verse number 50, there are two definitions for yoga given. Here he says, samatvam yoga uchyate. Evenness is said to be yoga. In verse number 50, he says, skill in action is yoga. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. So basically, what is yoga? Yoga is evenness of the mind and skill in action. You should be acting and your mind should be at rest. Somebody asked Swami Ramtirtha, what is work? What is rest? What is rest? He immediately shot back saying, intense work is rest. You know, when Swamiji lectures on individual topics, and Swamiji gives some seminars, a lot of people ask him, especially when he goes abroad in the US and all, why do we have to listen to you? You are coming from a place where not much productivity is there, whereas there is so much of productivity here. So he says, I've come to speak to you on looking forward for Monday mornings and not Friday evenings. Since you guys, even though you're productive, you're all looking forward for Friday evenings, not Monday mornings. That's why you have this restaurant also, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. So your body should be engaged in action while your mind should be at rest. In many of our cases, body is at rest, mind is constantly running towards the objects. So samatvam yoga uchyate, verse 48, chapter 2, and verse 50, yoga karmasu kaushalam. You know, this was very easy to remember, so try to memorize this. Samatvam yoga uchyate, yoga karmasu kaushalam. So yoga is equal to evenness of mind and skill in action.
Skill in action, what is the sense?
No, we skill in karmasu kaushalam.
Skill, S-K-I-L.
Yeah. Karmasu kaushalam means dexterity in action.
Dexterity in action.
We will discuss that when we come to verse 50. But I thought I'll mention this here so that you know you'll understand what yoga is or what Krishna is trying to define as yoga is. So here he's only talking about evenness as yoga in this verse. Now, what we need to understand is everybody's mind, while it's engaged in action, is attached to the result. The result can be success or failure. In other words, what I will get out of this action. And the intellect is engaged in using the intellect to find out how I can be successful and not be a failure. In other words, I am not having samatva mind, I am having a mind which has preference. I like certain things, I want to do actions to fulfill those likes, and when I fulfill my likes, I consider myself to be successful. I want to avoid failures. So constantly I am running after preferences. I have preferences. I like this, I don't like this. And throughout my life, I'm only fulfilling my likes and dislikes. So actions are only a means for me to fulfill my likes and dislikes. And intellect is only a tool that I'm using to find out the ways and means of fulfilling my likes and avoiding my dislikes. Thus, when the mind is constantly engaged in likes and dislikes, you find one not remaining peaceful. So here Lord Krishna is saying, we on the contrary believe that if you are active, then you cannot be peaceful. Obviously, if a person is active, then he will have to lose the peace. But here Krishna is telling us, it is not the action because of which you lose the peace, it is because of your likes and dislikes, it's because of your preferences. When we say it's because of your preferences, we mean it's because you identify with your likes and dislikes and function. So, therefore he says, do actions, perform actions, you cannot escape from actions. Krishna is not talking about the philosophy of running away from meeting the challenges of life. One should face life, not run away. But when you face, are you facing or are you prejudiced while you face?
You are selectively facing. You do not want to face certain things. You do not want to face certain people. You want to only face certain things in life. Isn't it? And when we have a life like this, then we are bound to be agitated. Therefore he says, perform actions but being steadfast in yoga, being consistent, determined in yoga. Renouncing attachment, attachment to the results. Be a sakshi, samatvam. Don't be a person who selects between likes and dislikes. Be a witness and not be selective. Just remain a sakshi. Be detached. Now what does this mean? When you do an action, there is this success or failure. Fulfillment of the result, non-fulfillment of the result. Both are there. The pairs of opposites are always there. But there is another third factor. What is that? You. The self. When the mind is outward, it is extroverted. When the mind is turned within, it is introverted. Extroverted mind cannot be peaceful. Introverted mind can never be agitated. So what he is trying to say is, keep your mind introverted while your body engages itself in action. Are you with me?
When you say keep your mind introverted, does it mean focus?
Yes, on the self.
On the self.
And that is why when Swamiji, if you read his commentary, he speaks from a relative point of view. Not everybody is directly able to focus on the self. Therefore he says, pitch up a higher goal beyond your selfish, self-centered interest. Mind, when it is selfish, it's thinking about fulfilling its likes and dislikes. Therefore pitch up a higher goal. But having pitched up a higher goal and having achieved that goal, don't get stuck there. Go on escalating your goal further towards the highest. Keep moving towards the highest. And what is the highest? The self. So basically what he is trying to say here is, keeping the focus upon the self, you act. Today while I act, the focus shifts to the result. The focus shifts to the pairs of opposites. The focus is not upon the self.
Look, but 1 minute. But when you go towards the pairs of opposite or the result, it is I want this. So how is it different from focusing within? I mean, it's a confused statement myself. But
pardon?
Like when we are saying that we should focus inside and not...
No, focus inside means what? Being... See, like a mirror. You can bring in front of the mirror anything. It just reflects it. And when that is taken away and something else is brought, it reflects the other one. It doesn't have any preferences. Are you with me? It simply reflects and it doesn't project. Our mind is constantly projecting the likes and dislikes and we are running after that. So he is saying, shift the mind. There is another factor here, that is the person who is doing the action. The person who is doing the action and the results, the pairs of opposites. Isn't it? The success or failure. Instead of, while acting, your mind going after success or failure, put it on the self. And remain a witness and do the action. Whatever planning and everything that you are supposed to do, you should do it. And having done the planning, when you plunge and act, we've spoken about this when we did 47, if you remember. Because a lot of people think, oh, when he says karmani eva adhikara maha phaleshu kathasana, then should I not plan? No. planning becomes the present action. Then that alone becomes, that should be your focus. But having planned, having chiseled your, the way, the map, you should now focus on the action and not on the result. And that's what he said in 47. So he is continuing here by saying, therefore remaining a witness and not taking sides towards what I like, what I dislike. I hope I get the result. I hope nobody interferes. You understand? Then the mind starts going this side and that side. You lose your peace. So your intellect should firmly keep you in the present action. You should remain there as a witness and deliver. So it is not the action that disturbs you. It is how you act that gives you peace or disturbance. If your action is extroverted, what I can get is the attitude behind it. A lot of people ask, sir, I don't think of what I will get. In fact, I just want to give everybody everything, but still I am agitated. What they don't understand is, they are asking for something very subtle. I don't want anything gross from anybody. I would rather give them everything that is gross. But all I want is good name. They should understand that I am a giver and not a taker. Even that is an expectation. Isn't it? So, steadfast in yoga, perform actions, O Dhananjaya, renouncing attachment, sangam tyaktva. The sangam is the problem. Action is not the problem. It is the attachment that is the problem. In fact, Vedanta is defined as renunciation in action, not renunciation of action. People are scared of getting into Bhagavad Gita early in their life, thinking that it will make them run away from life. But Bhagavad Gita will put you back into life totally. Completely and totally going through your life is what Lord Krishna's message is in Bhagavad Gita. To be fully there, when you do an action, you are there as a split personality. Your mind has gone to the future. Only the body is existing there. Your mind has gone to the past. Only the body is existing there. You are not there fully, isn't it? Any action. Therefore, you don't go through the actions fully. So how to be in evenness, to be fully in the action? To keep your mind in the present action totally and not go by your likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes may be there within you, but why should you identify with it? Somebody asked Lord Buddha, in fact once when Buddha was walking with his disciples, few people who did not like Buddha, they were cursing Buddha. So the disciples, having heard that, they could not take it, But then they kept quiet because Buddha was walking without getting affected by that. So after some time, one fellow asked Buddha, why are you keeping quiet? You will just tell us, we'll finish them off. They're talking ill about you, we can't take it. He said, sir, it is their privilege to offer what they want to offer. It is our privilege to say yes or no to what they offer. I said no, I walked away, I was not affected. You said yes, you had accepted it, therefore you are agitated. Are you with me? So likes and dislikes will be there. As long as the mind is there, likes and dislikes will be there. But you should have the intellect which will not identify with the likes and dislikes, but do what is expected of you to be done in the context. And that is Karma Yoga.
If you do that, then your mind will be balanced and calm. Is that clear?
Yeah, very
difficult. What is difficulty here? Difficulty is that you should start training your intellect. And how do you start training your intellect? Sadhana. You have to do sadhana. That's all. Nothing else. We have to do our sadhana of karma yoga, pitching up a higher ideal and dedicating our actions, bhakti yoga, channelizing our emotions towards the higher, then jnana yoga of studying, inquiring, and then hatha yoga. If you keep on doing it, by constantly exercising your intellect, over a period of time your intellect develops discriminating ability and awareness. This is the way. And firstly, you need to make sure that you have only people around you who are also interested in developing themselves. Satsang. You quote the satsang. Satsang may not be there to you all the time wherever you are, but you quote the satsang. Right? You can have light-hearted fun every now and then, but deep inside you should be serious about the pursuit of happiness. Thus slowly, slowly you will build your intellect. So what Krishna is saying is, be, in a way he is saying, be choiceless or be preferenceless. Don't choose before itself, this is how I will act, this is how I will not act. Just be alert. And whatever the situation demands, do that. To predetermine how I will act is the job of a sleepwalker. An alert person is not going to predetermine how he is going to act. You can have a plan that you should be ready to change the plan according to the situation. You can have plan A, plan B, plan C. But the situation is that plan A, plan B, plan C, none of them works. Take fresh measurements. Remember this. In the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji keeps, is mentioned that when George Bernard Shaw was once asked, who do you think is the most intelligent person on earth? He immediately said, it seems, my tailor. Because he said, he is the one who takes fresh measurements every time I go there. You might have taken a vow to fast every Friday evening or Saturday evening or whatever. But you should also be exercising your sense of you should use your intellect, isn't it? Sense of proportion. If you meet somebody after so many years and he says, and it happens to be Friday evening and next day morning he's leaving, he says, let's have dinner together. No, I have been maintaining this vow for the last 20 years, I don't want to eat. You don't say that. Or if you are not well and you have to take certain medication for which you need to eat, you say, okay, I'll eat. Fresh measurements. What does it mean? It only means that you are awake. Mind has predetermined, this is good for me, this is bad for me. As though we are so intelligent to know what is good for me, remains good for me always.
How does one decide what is good and what is bad?
What keeps you happy and peaceful and dynamic is good for you.
Without the peaceful part, something bad could also keep you happy.
Temporarily.
Yes.
But not permanently. We are talking about permanently.
Just peace
come immediately or it comes like, you know, if you choose to do a certain action, then happiness comes immediately. But peace takes time to happen, doesn't it?
If you are by happiness meaning the fulfillment of a desire, then yes, it comes instantly. But that is not real happiness. And real happiness and peace and bliss are all synonyms, the way we are talking here. So, lot of people go for their instant pleasures. By fulfilling your immediate desire, you may get instant kick, instant pleasure. But that can finally kick you totally. Like they say, you know, I got a kick by really giving it back. You know, when a person gets angry, he shouts at somebody and I say, I gave him nicely, I got a kick. But what they don't understand is that anger finally kicks them totally, destroys them. So, sorry, to be pre-deciding robs your evenness. You can have decisions, but the decisions have to be brought into the present context. That is being awake. When a person is alert, he is peaceful. When the mind is going here and there, his thoughts are running amok, he is not peaceful. See, I have given this example before. If you are asked to walk on a plank 10 feet wide and 20 feet long plank, which has been put on the surface of the floor, you will walk without any problem. But the same plank, when it's put between two huge buildings and everybody certifies that nothing will happen, you can comfortably walk. Will you walk? Why? You need to be alert there. Here you need not be alert. There you need to be alert. And when you are put in a situation, you are asked to walk on the plank, immediately what happens is, you become very, very awakened and alert. And that time if you see your thoughts are not going into the future, this and that. Are you with me? So any time when your thoughts go to the future or the past, you lose your balance. And what is driving you mad is not your actions, but your likes and dislikes. To identify with the likes and dislikes and then run after the pairs of opposites, my mind goes into the past and future, I lose my balance. Therefore Krishna here says, be steadfast in yoga, being united with the self within, being united with the Atman within. From a relative point of view, being united with a goal. Because, so what is this Atma? I don't understand what is Atma. It's only a theoretical term for me. I only heard about it from you, from the text, from the scriptures. But I really don't know what is Atma. So this is, remains a theory. So what do I do practically? Pitch up a higher goal. Something beyond your selfish, self-centered interest. If you are working for yourself, start working for your family. If you are working for your family, then maybe to your country. Don't play to break records. Play for the nation, etc. Right? So thus when you identify with the higher and function, your mind is not going helter-skelter, you remain peaceful. That peace of mind while your body is engaged in action is yoga. You can be peaceful when you are sleeping also. That is not yoga. You may be peaceful when you have taken some substance inside you which is temporarily quietened your mind. That is not yoga. That is not true samatva.
In fact, a lot of people who act on their likes and dislikes, and they run after the world throughout the day with so much of likes and dislikes burning within. They are so dynamic. They in fact say 24 hours is not enough. What people call as burnout, you know. In fact, I forget the gentleman's name, somebody who was only 43, 44, was a CEO of a huge company, who died of heart attack recently, who said, I only sleep for 2 or 3 hours because I don't have time, in one of the interviews. He achieved a lot, but then he had to die soon. The point is, you are running after your likes and dislikes so much, you are working so hard, you are fulfilling your desires, you are successful in the point of view of the world, but what is happening is, since your mind is running amok, you are not able to sleep, so you require some other substance to keep you temporarily quiet, and that is not samatvam. So therefore, some people misunderstand and say that, okay, if I want to be peaceful, then I should stop acting. Or I should do very minimum action. Like Swamiji keeps on saying, you know, in the East, you find people relatively peaceful, but not much action. In the West, you find people are very dynamic and productive, but not so peaceful according to them. So what is Vedanta? What is Bhagavad Gita? To combine the East and West. Means what? To be active and to be peaceful. How to be active and to be peaceful? That is the positive living. Negative living is not acting and remaining peaceful. Either in sleep or induced by alcohol, etc. Because the mind is running so much, it requires something to quieten it. Sorry. You should be in the action. While you are in the action, outside people should not know the difference between a true worker and a workaholic. Outside it looks as if both of them are workaholics. But the difference is, when the true worker comes home, he is switched off. In fact, he is not switched off, in the sense he has always been peaceful. In the other person's case, he is not peaceful when he comes home, because he has so many other things to do. So he has to do something to keep himself peaceful. This is not what is samatvam. But today we require so many other things to keep us in that samatvam. So he says, be steadfast in yoga, uniting your intellect with the higher, with the awareness of the self, identifying with the goal. You keep your mind in the present action and not get attached to the results. Then you will be peaceful while acting. So Swamiji, another thing he says is, when you hit the pillow at night, you should be sleeping within 20 seconds. Like a small child. Then you are leading a spiritual life, he says. Meaning, your mind is at rest. The body is just exhausted. You just slide into sleep like a small child. We were sleeping very nicely when we were children. But when you grow up, why is it that you lose that sleep? Because we are going in the direction of the mind, not having any control. Governing over the mind is lost.
So samatvam yoga uchyate. When the thoughts are running, by analyzing it and criticizing it, you only make it run further, because you are strengthening the thought. So what is the way in which you can have control over your thought? The best way to control the mind is exactly like how you control your child also. If you tell the child, don't do it, what will it do? It will do that. You tell the child, don't stand on that parapet wall. And if you shout at the child, then it will be little bit, temporarily it will be scared, but it wants to do that. So what will it do? When you turn that side, it will go and stand on the parapet wall and say, na 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 na. You understand? The mind is only wanting to go to the don'ts. Force will not work, but witnessing will work. When the child is tending to do something that you don't approve of, because it's not good for the child, you stare at the child, just be a witness. The child will remain quiet. It will understand, okay. By do's and don'ts, the child cannot be controlled. The child can only be controlled through witnessing. Child and mind are always compared. The child in us is our mind.
You can have this for your cough.
Yeah, thank you. So the child in us is only the is the mind. So you need to control it through awareness and not through any other means. Because what are we doing? Force, punishments, that is not going to bring us evenness. What is going to bring us evenness is gaining control over the mind through witnessing. And that is being steadfast in yoga. So, samatvam yoga uchyate. Verse 49. Sorry.
Dure nahyavaram karma. Dure nahyavaram karma. Buddhi yoga dhananjaya. Buddhi yoga dhananjaya. Buddhau sharanaman vichya. Buddhau sharanaman vichya. Kripanapala hetavaha. Kripanapala hetavaha. Dure nahyavaram karma. Buddhi yoga dhananjaya. Buddhau sharanaman vichya. Kripanapala hetavaha. Far inferior to yoga of knowledge is karma, action. Far inferior to buddhi yoga or karma yoga is karma, action. O Dhananjaya, seek refuge in knowledge. Seek refuge in knowledge. Wretched are they whose motive is fruit. Wretched are they whose motive is fruit. See, here he is saying, there is something called as karma and there is something called as karma yoga. What is the difference? I explained to you fortunately in the beginning itself. In karma, it is mind-oriented action. In karma yoga, it is intellect-oriented action. Action is either propelled by your mind or by the intellect or the combination. Body performs the action. Body executes the action. But body by itself is only a vehicle. Vehicle doesn't move without the engine and the driver. Are you with me? So, body doesn't move by itself. You did not get up from your house and come to this class by yourself. The body did not move by itself. The mind had a desire to attend the class, or the intellect had the discrimination which said it's the right thing for you to do. Mind might probably wanted to do something else, but the intellect said no, going to the class is the good thing for you. Or you had both the desire to study the Vedanta as well as the intellect saying that's the right thing for you. So it's either the mind that propels you to action or the intellect or the combination. So he's saying far inferior to Buddhi Yoga is karma. Means what? When the mind propels the action, it is karma. When the intellect propels the action, it is karma yoga. So compared to intellect propelling the action, mind propelling the action is inferior. Number one point he said. Is that clear?
How do you differentiate between
the
mind and
the intellect? Mind is nothing but likes and dislikes. So when your likes and dislikes are propelling your actions, the desire is propelling your actions, it is the mind. When your intellect, which is the discriminating faculty, which says it's alert, it's awake, and it sees this is the right thing for you in the context, do this. Your mind may say, just lie on the couch. Intellect may say, no, get up and go for a walk. You've had enough rest. So, far inferior to karma yoga is karma. Number one. And then he says, seek refuge in knowledge. Wretched are they whose motive is fruit. See, many of us are using our intellect. In fact, quite a lot doesn't use their intellect at all. They don't even know that they have some faculty called intellect. Simply being propelled by likes and dislikes. Few of us who use our intellect are also using our intellect only to fulfill our desires. Success, failure. Isn't it? This is good for me, this is bad for me. I should attain this, I should attain that. So I am using my intellect. What is the way to attain this result? So in other words, what he is saying, wretched are they who use their buddhi to only fulfill their desires. And they are temporarily happy. They don't know, they are ignorant. So they are losing their permanent happiness for immediate pleasures. Their buddhi is capable of doing much more better things. Something which is capable of achieving a million. Like, you know, somebody who is a multi-millionaire and he is telling you, ask whatever I will fulfill. And you are asking him for a Toblerone chocolate. A child will ask for a Toblerone chocolate only. Child doesn't know anything else. The word wretched here, in Hindi if you want to say bichara, say bichara, no? Poor fellow, ignorant, fool, using the intellect for petty things. While the intellect could be used for much subtler things. Instead of questioning with your intellect how to fulfill my desire, use your intellect to question who is it trying to fulfill the desire? Who is it wanting to fulfill the desire? Instead of getting to the source, we are getting after the results. That's what he's saying. Very interesting verse. You can ask for success. You can ask for who is asking for success. We are using our intellect to solve problems without realizing that the real problem is only ignorance of the self. There is no other problem. There is only one problem. And that is, we do not know who we are. When you do not know who you are and you know about everything else, and about yourself but not who you are. Like when you do not know that you are so and so, and imagine yourself to be the president of the country, the prime minister of the country, what would you call him? Call that person lunatic, mad, insane. So the intellect is capable of achieving subtler joys, to dig deep within. Instead of that, we are going and bringing more and more and adding. This is what we are doing. Intellect is working as a slave to the mind. When the intellect can independently function and question the origin of the mind. So this is what he is saying. Far inferior to yoga of knowledge is action, O Dhananjaya. When you use your intellect as a slave to the mind, you may fulfill your desires and get temporary happiness, but mind remains insatiated. Mind is compared to fire, isn't it? Any amount of ghee poured in fire, ghee will not satisfy the fire. Fire would want more and more ghee. Never will it say, I had enough, thank you. Will it? Similarly, any amount of desires being fulfilled, how many other years you have lived in this life, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever your age is, all these years, what have we been doing? Fulfilling our desires. Yet, can we say, yes, I have had enough? No, I want more, much more. Give me more. Isn't it? So the way of the mind is, it leads you to insatiation. When the mind uses the intellect to fulfill its desires, it becomes insatiated. But when the intellect governs the mind and acts, you also fulfill the desires in the bargain, but eventually you also drop your vasanas, because of which you also remain peaceful. Your happiness, content goes on increasing. So he says, wretched are the... It's just the direction in which you are using the intellect is wrong. You are using the intellect to add more to you, rather than using your intellect to dig deep within. So far inferior to yoga of knowledge is action. So when a person has the knowledge, he uses the intellect in the right directions. He therefore doesn't, because today now our mind is keeping the intellect at ransom and saying, tell me how I can fulfill these desires. You remember the term pond, where the ducklings were playing in and around a pond. A chick befriended the ducklings. And the ducklings would go inside and outside of the pond every now and then, and they come out and play in the garden. Mother of the chick had cautioned the chick, when they play on the surface, you are okay to play with them. But when they enter the pond, you should not enter. So the chick was obeying the mother for a while, and then it thought, when they enter, it's quite tempting to the chick, you know. So it said, I also want to go inside the pond. I also want to enjoy. But then my mother said I should not go. So it started reasoning. Chicken intellect, you know, started reasoning. First, in fact, it sees my feet. The reason why a chick cannot swim is because chick doesn't have webbed feet. The ducklings have webbed feet. But it says my feet, my this, and then finally it says my beaks are pointed, their beaks are round. Is that any reason why I should be drowned? No. And then it makes a very interesting statement. It says, I am really remarkably fond of water. I am really remarkably fond of water, and entered the pond. and it started drowning. The more it tried to come up, the more it sank and started floating finally. So the poet is trying to tell us that we do not use our intellect, or if at all we use, the intellect is held captive by the mind. Our desires are so powerful, all our intelligence is used only to fulfill the desires. Even when we send our children to school, even choosing a particular school, if you go behind and reflect, why are we doing that? We are interested in sending our children to this finishing school in Switzerland or any of these schools. Why? Because they can come back and be a part of this world and earn the comforts. So all the intelligence that we are earning or struggling to earn is for what? Fulfilling our desires and increasing our comforts. So he is saying this is far inferior. Nobody stops and thinks. If somebody stops and thinks, the person who is working as a clerk wants to become the manager. Manager wants to become the senior manager. Senior manager, general manager, etc. If you go directly and ask the general manager, are you happy where you are sitting? No. I want to become the CEO or vice president or whatever. So where exactly is the happiness? Everybody is running after only one thing. They may run after that one thing in many areas. And what is that they are asking for? They are all asking for only one thing: happiness. We are trying to avoid what we believe will give us sorrow, isn't it? We are trying to court what we believe will give us happiness. So there are only two things we do from the time we wake up and go to bed. What is it? Dukkha Nivritti and Sukha Prapti. If I know this will give me joy, I'll go and court it. Courting joy is Sukha Prapti. Avoiding sorrow is Dukkha Nivritti. And why am I doing all this? For happiness. I see my predecessors, my elders, my friends, everybody running after the world. So what do? I also start running. Because I think if I stop and think, that much time I will waste. Rather than that, let me start running so that I can catch up. Isn't it? Just running. Constantly. Constant running. Nobody stops and thinks, what is it that I am seeking? I am seeking happiness. If I am wanting to go and attend the Bhagavad Gita class, then what I require is, where is it being held? I'm just running to go to the Bhagavad Gita class, but I do not have the address of the place where it is being held. So what am I doing? I'm going around in every place in Delhi, knocking at the doors and saying, hey, is Bhagavad Gita class happening here? Is it happening here? Is it happening here? Instead of that, what is the right thing to do? Where is it being held? The address. So what is the residential address of happiness? Everybody is involved in karma who may use the tool, the intellect, to find happiness in the external world by fulfilling the desires and dreams. But the person who is involved in karma yoga, he has understood that the happiness is within and is not involving into actions to find happiness, is getting into actions happily. People who are in karma, they are running after working in actions to find happiness. Are you with me? Other person is acting out of happiness. There's a difference.
You're running to find happiness or out of happiness?
Yes. So karma yoga, a person who is involved in karma yoga, whom you call as karma yogi, is acting out of happiness. Person who is involved in karma, whom you call as karmi, not karma yogi, is acting to find happiness. But he doesn't have the residential address. Karma yogi has the residential address. One person is without the address, another person is with the address. That's all. That's the difference. Who will get there? Person with the address. Someday in our life, we should ask this question, no? And this question of who am I cannot be put to anybody else. Don't expect others to answer this question, who am I? How am I supposed to answer, who are you? What breakfast you had this morning, you are supposed to answer. What clothes you wore yesterday, day before, you are supposed to answer. How am I supposed to answer all that? So who are you is not a question that can be put to the master and think that the master will answer and I can be satisfied. No. True master will not answer that question, who are you? Every time you go and ask him, who are you? He will give you one tight slap so that you become alert until you stop asking, who are you? And unless and until you find out who you are, who is it that wanting to fulfill this desire, wanting to avoid this desire, why is it that I am doing all this? Until and unless you find the answers to those questions, this running will not stop. So he says, Durena Hyavaram Karma Buddhi Yoga Dhananjaya Buddhav Sharana Mandicha Kripana Palahetava. So every action we have some results in mind and we are running after the results because in the belief that by fulfilling and getting that result, I'll be happy. I've fulfilled hundreds of desires, hundreds of results I've achieved. Still I am chasing. What does it mean? It means it's not in the fulfillment of the desires. It is in the finding, arriving at the source of the desires. So seek refuge in knowledge. Seek refuge in inquiry. Seek refuge in awareness. Seek refuge in buddhi. You have sought refuge in the objects of the world. Mind is craving for the objects and you have sought refuge in them. All I want is one more candy. So I'm using my desires, I'm using my intellect to achieve that one more candy. Compared to yesterday, my bank balance today should be more. Instead of using your intellect to increase or just to increase your bank balance, put it that way, just to increase your bank balance, spend some time to inquire, who is it that trying to increase the bank balance? who is it that struggles to increase the bank balance? Are you with me? That's what he means by seeking refuge in knowledge. Sometime in a day, few minutes, few hours of every day should be invested in the inquiry of the self. It is an investment. When you put some money in insurance, insurance may not give you that kind of returns, isn't it? It's not meant to be giving you so much of returns as you would get in share or in something else. But insurance investment is a necessary investment in the sense that it takes care of your what? Volatility. Isn't it? Takes care of the volatility. Similarly, every day invest some time in the inquiry of the self. That's why we say early hours of the day, use the time which is best for inquiry into the self. Then you can get about planning your day and then start functioning. Use it, use your day to do your karma yoga. But there must not a day pass by without investment of your time in self inquiry. So therefore he says, seek refuge in knowledge. Wretched are they whose motive is fruit. In the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji calls this as dry docking. You know, ship is constantly in the ocean. When it comes to the harbor, they do dry docking. You know what is dry docking? They take the ship off the shore, they remove all the flakes using the sandpaper and all that, and then they repair it and paint it. Because it's constantly in the ocean. Similarly, throughout the day, where is the mind, the intellect and mind involved in making money, in fulfilling desires, in the ocean of likes and dislikes? You need to do dry docking in the morning. So seek refuge in knowledge means what? You can write down. Seek refuge in knowledge means dry docking. When you do more and more dry docking, the awareness intensifies. So what in the beginning comes with an effort over a period of time comes spontaneously. That's the difference. In the beginning you all said, no, very difficult, very difficult. Yes, of course, it's difficult in the beginning. But by constant dry docking, it becomes spontaneous. Read with me. Very, very powerful verse. So remember this. There is no point being a karmi. One should be a karma yogi. You cannot run away from action. You just have to change karma into karma yoga. What converts karma into karma yoga? The awareness and the attitude. Action with right attitude and awareness is karma yoga. Desired an action is karma. So when he says seek refuge in knowledge, seek refuge in buddhi, a buddhi which is used, engaged in the inquiry of the self, in digging and not adding. Dureina hyavaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya. We are constantly trying to win the wealth. The real wealth is hiding deep inside you. Like in the Padmanabha Swami temple in Trivandrum, you know. All along, the wealth has been there. Isn't it? They never knew that. Suddenly they found. exactly like that he is saying, the tool is buddhi, which is there with everybody. And the tool is used in the garden of materiality. And the tool got used to being used in the garden of materiality. You got to now put in that effort to start using the tool within. It is stinking with materiality today. You should just start using it in the right areas. Either people don't use intellect or use in the wrong areas. Should use it in the right area. That's all he's saying here. And thus, by constantly kindling awareness, your actions underlined by awareness will start fulfilling your desires also and help you to rise above the desires also. Otherwise, you remain a wretched person. A wretched person, what will he be in? He'll be going through this cycle. It's like unintelligent fellow keeping his ship constantly in the ocean. If you are intelligent, you will do dry docking. You will not consider the time of dry docking a waste, isn't it? In fact, many of the corporates during recession, there are few things that they stop in the organization. What are the few things? What are the few things that they stop?
Excess expenditure.
What do they consider as excess expenditure? Usually.
Spiritual or motivational.
Travel and training. Usually they cut. How can you stop training? Does it mean that you were traveling unnecessarily before? If you have always traveled necessarily and you are always trained necessarily, why would you cut that? How can you cut your dry docking? How can you stop your training? Investment in training is not an expense. Each penny that you invest in training yourself saves you much, much more. Isn't it? See, when you want to manage your time, what is the most essential thing in time management?
Planning.
What is planning? Thinking. You might be investing about half an hour or 45 minutes in thinking. But that is essential investment, because that half an hour, 45 minutes or 1 hour of thinking saves you few days or months. You are given a task of moving a big boulder from point A to point B, a 1 kilometer distance. If you spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes thinking, then you will say, okay, let me use a crowbar or something, and then you push it, then you will get to that 1 kilometer faster. Without thinking, if you start pushing, even if you have so many people coming and helping you, you will reach 10 days later. So that few minutes, hours of time invested in thinking saves you few days and months. Seek refuge in knowledge. Seek refuge in training. Seek refuge in dry docking. Very, very important verse. Wretched are they whose motive is fruit. Instead of wasting my time in training, instead of wasting my time in dry docking, instead of wasting my time in inquiry, let me start running after the result. Hmm? when you see the athletes running in the 100 meter race or a kilometer race or whatever, they conserve the energy and give it a boost. A fellow who doesn't know that, he starts running like a mad fellow from the beginning. So in the beginning he might be ahead, but they'll just pace because they've conserved the energy and will just pace it later on. Isn't it? So how to do that? Karma Yoga vis-a-vis karma. You have the option. A person who does karma may succeed but eventually fail. A person who does karma yoga always excels. Karma may be a path to success, but karma yoga is the path to excellence. Remember the difference. You may fulfill your desires and consider yourself to be a successful person, but eventually you lose your life. But the other person is in the path of excellence, is not in the path of success. So far inferior to the path of excellence is the path of success. Let's conclude. पूर्णमुदच्छते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति शांति शांति।